Right, welcome to the African Knowledge Beyond the Media. We're continuing chapter 10, Ball Games as Symbols, subtitled The War of the Balls. We got my wife, Zalavette, on the wheels of steel. I ain't keeping it real. Just like Evander Holyfield.
Oh. This is going to go on, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, you just broke my flow.
Oh, I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing.
It is bad, because I was going to keep going with that.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Let's start over.
Oh, ain't no start over. Ain't no thing.
I'm sorry. Amin is live with us. Brother Amin, welcome.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, and how are you this evening? This fine, fine
evening.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh. Well.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm. Everybody.
Okay. I remember we left our page 134.
Right, 134, that's right.
I'm sorry, 135. I read past.
That's what I was about to see. I was about to say.
You was about to see it?
I was about to say, 135.
I don't know how you're going to see it, because I got the book for him. Wow.
You're going to put me out like that?
I know you're probably reading your notes there, so...
That is correct. That is correct.
Because you're so organized. Okay, we're going to get... Everybody got their books out?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Okay, here we go. Well, I think we'll start at the top of page 135, where she discusses... This is just a continuation when she wraps up the first section of the chapter on games. I mean, yeah, no, section of the subsection of the chapter on games. Okay, now she just explains it as a threat to white domination. There's white people become hysterical over playing ball games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to note this recent development with these white pedophile or pederastic coaching staff of the Penn State University elderly homo child molesting directorate. As they began to be exposed or revealed, however the hell you want to put it, come out the closet of exposition. They rioted, or at least they made mass demonstrations, and they threatened the lives of the people who exposed their pederastic homosexual coaches, high priest, if you will. They're not coaches; these are high priests of the religious order of brown balls. That's really what it is. It's a homosexual cult that they have, and the members of this cult, the devotees, if you will, they came out in the mass at the temple known as a stadium, and they let everybody know that they stood on the side of student favor and support of their high priest, Joe Paterno, and Jerry Sandusky. If we look at this thing as spiritual systems, then all of a sudden it becomes obvious. We look at the worship of homosexuality as, not the worship of homosexuality, but homosexuality being a ritual in the worship. It is like taking communion or something, some act of devotion to solidify or to express their obedience and devotion to the cut oven, if you will. And so we hear Dr. Wilson is laying it all out right here in chapter 10. She says it's no surprise that, I'm paraphrasing here, that violence is very dominant in the dominant aspect of ball games, when it is understood that behind the symbolism of the ball games is the very essence of white racial domination. See? So this is what it's all about. That's why I'm always telling people, stop watching their sports, because you're participating ignorantly but yet powerfully in their rich, in their worship, in their rituals. And if you want to weaken the power of these of this cult, you must not partake in its ritual. That's basic. Now, Dr. Wilson doesn't speak like this because I don't think she articulates herself. She's trying to write us, but in her point of view, from her training, is a secular text. But in all actuality, there is nothing secular. There's no such thing as secular. That's an invention of racists. Anybody have any comments on that?
Go pen. Oh, I'm sorry. I watched the game. Yeah, it's pretty sick. No, well, you know that happened here in my neck of the woods, and that's how they roll. That's just a prime example. There's nothing left to say.
That's a good point that you were making about the ritual, the ritualistic use of these different, mass congregations and rallying around this. It puts me in the mind of these holidays that or holy days that people are observing. There is ritual involved in doing these things that we think are just traditions or just, you know, something that we do that doesn't have a meaning. But in actuality, it does. Everything that we do has a meaning when it comes down to these types of things, like, making sure that everybody is observing, Thanksgiving, or making sure that I think, you can correct me if I am wrong, but I think that these games are redirection of the warrior spirit in the man.
Yeah.
That tribalism, that needing to bond and fight and win. These are many skirmishes that are kind of like a pressure release valve.
Oh yeah, it is. It's a ball game designed to release the homosexual.
I'm talking about the fight.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, that's even what the cheerleaders are saying. They're saying fight, fight, fight.
Fight, right. They're fighting for the other team's butt.
Oh, God. Do you understand what I'm saying, Brother Me?
Oh, yeah. But and where there's a fight, there's that humiliation going on. Because folks,
right, now they
fight,
hit to that.
They fight.
But I'm just talking about minus that part. I'm not saying not that. I'm saying in addition to that.
Oh, I was saying it's all one and the same. That's what I was saying.
In addition to that, I think it is natural for a man to want to do that, to fight for that, where he connects with, whether it's, his team, that's his city, his tribe, whatever. That's why they say it's our team. You know, these men connect with that.
And from my experience in the military, there's a connection with a fight, but at the end of that fight, there's this quest to humiliate the other side,
right.
in ways that aren't normal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Right. That's why they need to recreate what's normal. That's the big drive to go and tell everybody that, like, all over the world, especially in Africa, that y'all need to accept our form of a ritual. I mean, a human, let's say, social behavior. Because we can say, it's a social behavior, but understand that all of our social behaviors are based upon our spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
You learn what's proper and what's improper based upon your morality. And your morality comes spirituality. It's all one and same. But we use different terms. We say spirituality, religion. It's all the same. You know, to bind you back to the wisdom of the ancients. You know, that's the religion. Now, if those ancients happen not to be, I mean, the wisdom is not, does not happen to have any positive value like these games. These games, do they have some ancient value? I would say yes, not in a very ancient value, but in a Roman, Greco-Roman ancient type value, yes. Because, you know, those south-southern Europeans were practicing homosexual sports in mid-antiquity.
Mm-hmm.
And so those Europeans are tying themselves or binding themselves back to that spiritual practice of worship.
Mm-hmm.
And when black people or any other people who or even other white folks that weren't a part of that culture and they identify and connect with it, and then they too are bonded to it without respect for their awareness. They don't have to be conscious of it, and it's not necessary. Even if they're going through the motions, yeah, of course the magic is more powerful if they know what they're doing in their mind, but you know, them doing it and not having complete understanding doesn't hurt. And the more people that do it, regardless of that they don't understand, they are making it more effective. But yeah, that was an interesting thing. And we can look at, and she continues on to discussing the effect of sport, the relationship between sports and war. We got this big, has been involved in, let's say, continual wars throughout the 20th century. We say World War One, Two, Cold War, Korea. Cold War was still going on while Korea was going on. Korea, Vietnam, then the various little small wars, Panama, Grenada, all these are wars.
You know, Gulf War.
What war?
Gulf War. Two Gulf Wars.
Gulf War One, Two. Yeah, Afghanistan. They picked up that helping Russia out with Afghanistan, and they took the lead in that war. You know, they've been warring constantly. That's just the 20th century, and we can look at the 19th. They were constantly fighting then.
Then there was conflicts that they don't even call war.
Right, conflicts that they don't even call wars. Right, they were fighting all them wars over in Europe, or Germany fighting. You know, fighting with Austria. Nazis was helping them out with those wars too. You know, just wars all over Europe. They just fighting their ass off. And the wars in Africa, helping Cecil Rhodes and helping the Dutch conquer various and helping Belgium take over regions in Africa. All this was going on in the 19th century.
But then you figure these things were like in the Congo, you know, they were Belgium cutting people down for rubber, but the rubber was on its way to the United States to go to Goodyear.
Right, and so right, we know now this was involved directly in those wars of conquest in Africa throughout the throughout the beginning of. Of the colonial and harvesting period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so basically these Europeans have been in constant wars with black folks, India, the Southeast Asia, you know, each other. They've been fighting ever since they've seen how much human how much natural wealth there is to be obtained and how much they can restrict and impoverish all other non-white people on the planet. They've been fighting to maintain and expand that sphere of, and they still fighting to maintain and expand. And what are we doing? We talking about how, you know, it can be alright if we just sit down and just get a good job. Remember, be a good slave. Anyway, she makes the connection how all of these wars that these people are engaged in is connected to their affection and their obsession, rather, with the ball games. She says, when war is in progress, the top priority is always the status of the war. White supremacy is a war against all persons specified as non-white. In the meantime, the balls are passed, hit, bounced, dribbled, batted, punted, kicked, thrown, shot, rolled, struck, driven, caught, and captured to see who is the final possessor of the balls and to see who is the most agile, astute, or strongest in mastering the control of the balls. I'm sorry, I didn't even read that right. Mastering and controlling the balls. So, and that's what they do. People keeping scores, they betting. They betting on all the events. We got. Well, how many ESPN channels are there now? Does anybody know?
I don't.
And now they got a NFL special thing where you can watch every damn game at the same time on some special cable service or something. You know,
on your iPod.
On your iPod, you can watch it on your pager.
Oh, next. I think it's next year or the year after next. They're going to come up with the one that they just, what is that? It's the one that they're just going to beam it right into your brain?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that one. Keep in your head. You can just close your eyes and then watch the goddamn game.
It's pumped into restaurants, gas stations.
Yes, restaurants. Right, yeah, they do have it. You can go to any gas station, they got TVs in there watching sports. And while, so like Jonathan mentioned earlier, how the war and military strategies are strategy, and they have tacticians to help them with the designing of the plays and what have you, and then when the wars are, well, of course they're always at war, they are constantly at this genetic sexual a theme here, and it's largely. I mentioned the homosexual element because even though there are feminine symbols in the games, the men are the ones, the males who created this game are obsessed with the genitals of other men, and that's just gayness.
That's why the brown balls you try to capture,
right?
The white balls you bat away from you. You don't want those.
Right, they're always trying to put their hands on your balls.
They're always trying to capture the dark balls.
That's right. So be careful when the police trying to make it, he want to touch you in the privates. Just say no thank you. And, I do not consent to be fondled by the homosexual in a bag with a badge. You know? That's a homo police. That's what it is.
You really have an issue.
Well, yeah. We all got them. We living here. If we can call this living.
Barely
is horrible. And then the next paragraph, she discusses how the point that it effectively reveals the relationship of ball games to the white psyche and emphasizes the extent to which balls are symbolic preoccupation is the reference in the white supremacy system to act of sexual intercourse as balling. I never heard that term before. My black folks have reinvented this definition.
I've heard that term.
Oh, okay.
Not used by black people.
Not used by black folks. Yeah, we don't black people say that, but it's interesting how they black folks got. And I would like to know what the hell does balling really have to do with making a lot of money though. There might be something to that. I don't know. I don't understand that shit. Plenty of stuff. There you go. That's what I really said. The ball fantasy in the white psyche can best be stated as if the balls can be controlled on the court or the playing field or through ownership, they can also be owned and controlled in real life. You got doggone right. I was thinking that when I was reading this first time before you got this paragraph. I was like, because that is the structure. Now they're trying to let some black people, some white men in blackface, in the name of Will Smith and Jay-Z, have some pretend ownership in some athletic franchise to convince black folks that we not being psychologically and spiritually, manipulated by the ball game ritual, you know, and. to get black people actually more excited about playing sports and supporting sporting, you know, training. Anybody got any thoughts on that?
There was a push a few years back to try to get rappers to bring up the level of involvement in baseball in New York. They tried to get a bunch of rappers to come out and endorse the types of things in different commercials. And as far as this ownership, you know, it's even minority ownership in the teams that they're playing, that they're buying into.
Yeah.
Losing teams.
Right. They're gonna be sitting at the kiddie table in the board meeting if they even get to go at all.
Mm-hmm.
Get 0.5%, you know, and then they'll parade them all over the newspaper. See, he's a partial owner of the team, Negro. See, you all are making progress. Come over here and support my business. That's gonna work. That's the sad part about it.
It's working.
Stupid. That's plan is dumb. Fuck. It really is stupid. And I can't believe it's fucking. But anyway.
Their whole plan is dumb. And it works.
It's childish. It's so retarded. It's like nobody ever thinks about it. Because I think they want to keep playing it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is provide them with a an excuse to keep doing what they're already doing.
Mm-hmm.
And feel good about it. And they don't want to think, if they know they can thank them, you know, think through it and figure it out, if they don't want to. But anyway, it goes on to say that's a little wonder in contrast to black males, and white males play the ball games as though it's a matter of life and death, and not as though they are simply to be enjoyed. When whites lose control of the balls, whiteness becomes extinct. Now, she's going to go into tennis here in the next section, which she'll revisit this theme about life and death, and we're going to go to town on that particular dimension. But for right now, we're going to discuss right here. She says, it's no accident that the phrase to blackball in the language of white supremacy culture means to exclude and to have power to exclude. Now, I think we've talked ad nauseum, not really ad nauseum, I'm sorry, but at length, about having the power to reward or punish. Dr. Amos Wilson and Brother Steve Coakley, Elder Brother Steve Coakley, have talked about rewarding and punishing. And how black people culturally and even in our cultural movements have failed to exercise power in favor of black or Negro interest. And instead, we've been using power, any kind of power that we can generate, to reinforce and support white supremacy. And anybody have any thoughts on that?
When you mentioned that reminded me, speaking of ball games, is you remember there was one football player, I don't remember these guys' names, but I guess he made some comment about the supposed assassination of Osama bin Laden, and then he was immediately punished, and there was no but he was punished by a company that we could have punished.
Right.
And instead of punishing, you know, there was no fear that we would punish that. This company makes, you know, millions off of black folks, Champion Sports. They were able to punish him, and we weren't able to punish that company back. And we're not using our ability to punish. We're not taking our ability to punish. We're allowing ourselves to be punished, not rewarded, or rewarded in some way.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's excluded, punished. We take anything, any kind of abuse. Folks just taking it, you know. not wanting to, and that's something they've really gotten to love. I think we talked about it another day, how a black culture has become masochistic.
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming, it's getting to a point that they're starting to love the abuse. I don't think we've been there before. I think we were just, you know, tolerating it. I think that tolerance has become some type of sick enjoyment now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where black culture at large is has headed.
I can't remember any time where so many atrocities were committed against blacks where there wasn't any uproar. You know, even to this point where you started out talking about the thing that happened at Penn State, and now nobody's saying nothing about the color of these children.
Right.
Nobody's in an uproar about it. It's as though we like, well, you know, it happened.
Right. Yeah. That's just a fact of life. Think you had an announcement, Jose?
Yeah, it's about 2 minutes before time for the show to end. So if you, hello to everybody in the chat room. Thank you for joining us tonight. The number is 323-580-5707. If you're interested in staying over for the last few minutes of the show, you'll have to call in. The number again is 323-580-5707. Otherwise, we will be back next week on Wednesday, 10 p.m. Central, and we will finish up Chapter 10 on the ball games. Thank you for joining us. Good night. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, we really gotten into that. Or taking this whole abuse thing and just becoming freaks to it, basically. And which, you know, I don't think Doc had said that back then, Dr. Wells, and I don't think she probably would say that now. But I think we have to make that observation because we see it going down. I think we just talking about it. We like showing pictures and looking at the abuse. You know, and just marveling over, like, oh man, that's just something, taking pictures. You know, like they were doing that old lady when the police were abusing her, and we just kind of like want to look at it over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's disturbing. That's a very disturbing dimension to the black consciousness. Okay. I'm gonna skip a few other sports here she analyzes and go ahead and jump on this basketball, right? She says the importance of games utilizing brown balls in the white supremacy culture is of special interest. The most important of these games are football and basketball. It is only an accident that black males now that they have been allowed to play have become the most outstanding players in these sports, nationally and internationally. Oh, she asked. Is it only an accident that in the game of football, the field general, that is the quarterback, almost always must be white, no matter the color of the other players? And, of course, the owners must always be white, no matter who wins or who's the star. The white owners control the big brown balls and who gets to play with them. And we covered that a few moments ago, that's how they run it, and we comply, that we be little peons running up and down the field or court, and just to be become sexual servants to the white power structure. And it's the next paragraph. She said, it is of symbolic importance that the large brown ball is thrown into the circular opening known as the basket, usually a white net attached, that can be viewed as a symbol of the white female vaginal orifice. Similarly, the brown ball football is kicked through a white upright opening, which is called a goal post, that can be viewed again as the uplifted legs of a white female in the act of sexual intercourse. Yep. She got it, in my opinion. What about you, brother?
I believe so.
Yep. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Strange.
About
voice.
You, Jalavet?
Absolutely. I understand completely.
Mm-hmm.
I see the symbolism.
Black men spend all their time, see, shooting ball. I mean, we play basketball for hours. And evidently, it's some kind of psychosexual ritual training demand to, you know, do that. But I guess the higher up he gets in his discipline at playing the game, then he gets, you know, mentored by and showcased in the European Senate arena, where you got these white women fawning over them. I guess that's one of the motivations. One of them, I say. One of the motivations for them, all these sports guys, marrying Caucasian women. Because they, you know, I think she covers that later on in this chapter. And it works out. And he said, I'm going to skip on down right here to the last paragraph in this chapter. She said, she's reminded that there's a common underground thought and saying of white men that they are not really men until they have had sexual intercourse with a black female. Has anybody heard that one before?
I've heard that before.
No. You have? You said you have?
I have.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
You ever heard that before?
Never.
That's
yeah, we don't know that many European people that...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know very many of them, so.
Well, I was in the military, so I was around a whole bunch of drunk ones.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Honor. Wow. I mean, you know.
That's also a prime motivation to go in the military, so you could rape natives all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, yeah, that's it, yeah.
So I've heard that before.
Yes, I have.
Wow. They're trying to get some melanin to improve their humanity. Step, move, a step up. Need it. They where they at. Ooh, man. Damn. They leave the dogs and cats alone. I don't think we can argue. At least they people. It's just time. Ooh. I hope the insects are safe. I don't know.
I was just reading an article about what's going on in Iraq. There was quite a bit of that going on.
Oh, yeah. Insects,
yeah.
Too, huh?
Attacking the molestation and all this type of stuff.
Right.
Yeah, you know, whatever they're going to be, it's going to be some molestation. Somebody getting raped.
That's right. Now, that's it.
Shit, as soon as they get off the boat, yeah, everybody be
happening
on the chassis to build. That's pretty much it. That's the number one. That should be the hottest ticket selling item when
chassis belt
and a zero tolerance policy for being in prison. Do not let them put you in no damn prison.
Yeah.
Do not go
to jail.
I haven't heard much news anymore about there was a black female Marine raped and murdered in a tent over in Iraq. Not much news about that.
Hell no. I don't know why. It ain't like black folks gave a damn, because they black folks showed on. That's the realness. But she goes on. She says the demonstration of white males are fantasizing that they are in the customary role of black males when they by watching sports, that is, or whose genitals they apparently admire and envy. Thus, black males in their true standard of real manhood and genetic power. Say, yep, we their true standard. And I guess it's the reason why, you know, if you, you know. You know, that's really gay, though. I mean, to be just sitting around thinking about people's genitals and shit all the time. All that talk about productivity, you know, well, there ain't no excuse. You just stop thinking about that, really. And you just work on making some boats or something. Stop thinking about people's balls. And then they could, you know, start back to liking women and not, and no dogs, cats, horses, and sheep. And other dudes. Platypuses. And making prisons for the homosexualization of people. Because I see they want to make everybody gay so they can have sex with them. You know? Because the real goal is they want to have sex with the black male. You know what I'm saying? They the ones about the black male balls all the time. They the ones came up with this. Did nobody come up with this?
Did
nobody even understand the game? But them. They knew it the whole time. They knew when they was building that jail, it was going to be a homo. Did nobody know? People just going in there. What this is? Oh, it's a homo training camp. Got your ass now.
There's a lot of similarities between this Coliseum type stuff and you know these arenas in Rome and in Greece.
Oh yeah, it is. Oh yes, yeah, it's a kind of a similarity. No, I am.
We're actually so going there now.
What they
with do? This fight.
We saw that show. What was that, some kind of history show when they do that Greco-Roman wrestling or something back in ancient time? Tell them what they did to the loser.
They would. Well, what they were actually wrestling for was to for one man to penetrate the other. So I guess essentially they were both wrestling to protect their manhood. And so what they would do is they would rub their penises into the sand, and so that whoever lost was then penetrated not just with a penis but with a sandy, gritty one. Yeah, it was
freaking
awesome.
This is what they into. Oh, this was it History Channel or something like that?
Yeah, it was the History Channel.
This is,
you know, they tell you everything on there. They just
just like that. Now I ain't want to say because everybody know I'm so anti. They probably all man, he's just making it up, you know, because he just talk about everything they do. Now I'm gonna let Javette tell you because she saw it too. That's my witness.
Mm-hmm.
See
what they do?
That's what they're doing.
Said it like it was the commentator said it like it was just, you know, yes, they would rub their penises into the sand, and
they had to put some kind of oil on to make the sand adhere to the.
And they would anally rape the loser. That's
right.
That's what he said. I guess that does, I would think, I guess, make for a pretty good fight when you're.
So the only thing you could do is wear a chastity belt, get really good at wrestling. Don't fight at all. Run away to a foreign
country. But either way, you were gay because.
Because I was thinking about options of a chance to be.
Because either way.
I don't think I'd want to win either.
That's what I'm saying. Either way,
you got the chance.
That was a bad thing. It just
ain't nobody. It covers you all the way around.
Either way, I mean, that's like a losing game. I don't know.
Them, they looking forward to it. You know, they probably oiling themselves up, trying to make sure the most enjoyable, put some, you know.
You know, this could really go bad from here. You can just.
Does the winner buy the loser flowers?
Huh?
Does the winner buy the loser flowers?
Oh, he has to buy them dinner.
Band-Aid. That's probably what he has. God.
That would probably hurt the winner, too. Now that
that's what I was thinking. I mean, I was like, that has to hurt you, too. But I don't know, because, you know, I don't.
Right, you're right, because, you know, they hate the genital organ. I think we talked about this in one of the other chapters.
Doing really horrible things to the genital organs. That's why
they hate their reproductive power.
The reproductive organs, right. So they do all the piercing.
Yeah, the Prince Albert's
and even sticking inanimate objects.
In the urethra. Oh, man. That's
into the urethra, in the vaginal canal, fisting, various, you know, orifices.
Man.
All of these types of things that are sending negative chi, negativity, negative energy.
To the reproductive organs.
They hate the white genitalia, and that's what this essentially what this chapter is covering too.
But let us talk about it's not they hate all genitalia. They cut off black penises too.
Well, yeah, they do cut off black penises.
But worship hours as the idea.
Prize that.
You're right.
They prize that. They bat away the white balls.
You're right.
They want to bring the white balls to themselves. Like the picture that we saw that time of the white man with the rich white man, the older, he had he looked like the Monopoly guy. And he had everything that the white man needed. And then his genitals were black. He had a black penis.
Yeah, that was advertising. Yeah, they said rich and white and have a black rooster.
Right. That was the pinnacle of white. Everything that is great and white is
right.
To have all the money and the power and to have black genitals.
And right, and Will talked about that too, about them feeling that we are wealthy because we have, which we know we have we wear the divinity, we wear the likeness and resemblance of the gods, and they are impoverished because they don't have that. And so they are one of the driving forces that she would, I think I'm interpreting her words, is that they feel like in order to take the material wealth from us, that supposed to make us equal. That we be impoverished and everything and be beautiful and they be hideous and wealthy.
Right.
That's mad. I mean, that's crazy as hell. But, you know, that's what crazy people do. They do crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
No need to judge.
Crazy. Yeah.
What did you say?
No need to judge.
Oh, no need to judge. I'm not judging. I was just pointing out some things. I love everybody. And everybody loves me.
Yes.
I draw positivity to myself. Because.
Good luck with all that.
Oh, maybe you say something smart.
You know what? I'm not even going to finish the rest of this. I'm not even going to continue this another week because I'm going to hit this one for last point. This is one point I want to hit on because the rest of this is not worth all that kind of time.
Okay.
Check this right here. I want to revisit this whole white ball thing with tennis, which we didn't pick up on.
Okay.
I think I skipped over it. But back to the tennis thing. She mentions how Arthur Ashe was the first black male to control that small white ball. Because
mm-hmm.
I read this because I'm relatively young or old, depending on how you want to look at me. I don't remember tennis being played with white balls.
I don't either. I thought it was green.
That's right. She says right here that it is only a coincidence that when Arthur Ashe began to play tennis with Champion Force, the game then allowed the introduction of colored tennis balls in major tournaments.
Oh.
He said in major tournaments. Hell, that means they people.
Because there was a yellow ball, too, I remember.
He's saying that in the major tournament, at the high level of the game, they was playing with white balls, but everybody on the street was playing with orange and all this other color.
Oh, okay.
And so, and you know what happened to him? They gave him AIDS.
Oh, yeah, he died of AIDS. Yes.
So they killed him for dominating that game.
Hmm.
And the next thing she said, a black male is not just supposed to bat a small white ball into total submission. See, he showed domination over the white ball, and they killed him for it.
And he went to Penn State, didn't he?
You know what? Yes, he did. He went to Penn State. Even if he didn't, I'm going to say he did because that sounds like a good answer.
Oh, damn. Let me look that up, Lord, before you just... Okay, let me find out where he went.
Ashe became the number one world tennis champion in 1975, but he did not sustain that position in 76. Ashe has been quoted as saying that he does not play just to win, but for the enjoyment of the sport. Oh, Benzo, you just like it. You like playing without balls. Maybe that's what they say. I don't know what that means to their crazy mind. I don't know what that means to them. And Jimmy Connors is reported to have said that he plays the game with a killer instinct. And so she says, Dr. Wilson says, that she can only imagine the psychological pressure put on Arthur Ashe as long as he remained in the position of the champion controlling the small white tennis balls. See what I'm saying? And we know they're giving people that damn disease. And so, you know, we just conclude the chapter right here. I don't need to read now. Everybody that want to know all those kind of things about ball games and symbols, go out and purchase this book and read it, and get, hopefully your ass get angry and change some shit. Doing. Stop screwing around. Doing their rituals.
UCLA.
He went to what, UCLA?
Yeah.
Oh. UCLA, Penn State, they're doing the same thing over there. Put my hidden cameras up in that building. I'll find out what the hell is going on around there.
Oh, it wasn't Penn State?
No, he went to UCLA.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to besmirch the character of that institution.
From UCLA, Penn State. You get it right.
Because Penn State
goes around.
Use that kind of negativity.
That's right.
I hope nothing happens to the two sisters who play tennis now. They dominate in tennis now. You know,
well, the ball isn't
one.
White anymore.
Right. The ball isn't white. And if a woman had become a champion before him, they ain't care about that. Because they want a black female to play with their balls. They don't mind that.
This is getting uncomfortable.
Hey,
you
know what? I did not make it.
Now.
I didn't make the game.
Isn't Serena blonde now?
Yes.
Yes, she is.
I think they started out, they was all deep with their natural hand shit and certain stuff and playing. And then as soon as they get, they go to the top of the game with them on what all they won, and then it's all about blonde hand and both of them straighten their hair.
Monstrosities.
Well, they were wearing braids and stuff.
Right. They went from braids to straight hair and one went blonde. What the hell is that? I mean, come on, man. Ain't nobody got no, but whatever. I don't support them no way, so it don't really that. I mean, I know they don't give a damn what I can say, because I ain't never went to a game. I ain't bought a T-shirt, racket, shoes, nothing.
Y'all are so bliggity black, blacker than black, y'all.
Because I know, Serena, don't matter what I say, you know.
Y'all have so much hatred in your heart.
Just because she got a nice round, she got them basketballs in her pants, you know, and behind her.
I think this is over now.
That was uncalled for.
It's over now. Well, all right then. So it was great. That concludes chapter 10. Are we done with that book?
Yeah, we're gonna just stop. I'm not gonna do no more chapters of this book. I haven't read the whole damn book.
Okay. All right. So that's it. So what's the next book?
We're gonna do the United Independent Compensatory Code of
Workbook
of the Word Guys
Unity
Nation Structure of White Supremacy Codification Guide.
Workbook Word Guide.
Workbook Word Guide.
I don't have it yet. I gotta get it before next week,
then. Unified.
But you ain't gotta get it because everybody else that comes to book club, I mean, they don't have the.
I don't have their book either.
And
worry about it.
I don't know if they're gonna buy it anyway, so then we'll just follow along.
Just follow along. Who buys the books anyway?
I don't know. If they are bad, anybody told me.
I'm just being bitter.
They ain't say, hey, man, I bought the
book.
And then she was doing something on a joint.
The order form for the book, I mean, is on the page on Woman Song. If you look into the albums, there's an album that says guests on the show. And and you can click on that and print the form, because he doesn't have a website or anything. You have to order it directly from him.
Okay.
So, and his turnaround is really quick. So if you get it, you know, if you go ahead and order it, you might have it, you know, before, you know, the first meeting.
That sounds good.
But all right,
okay.
So we're going to hit the compensatory guide. I don't know the name of it for real. We were just playing around, but it's...
But that's kind of how it go, though.
It's basically, you know, Fuller's book. That's it. It's the only one.
And an independent compensatory guide, code book, systemization of the codification, henceforth therewith.
That book. Go get that.
Know what I mean?
We're going to hit that next week. Next week. Really? Right, and then we don't need the word guide, I guess.
We got the word guide. We're going to use it, too, so we're going to let y'all know why y'all need both editions, you know.
All right, well, then.
Yeah.
He has a deal if you get both of the books.
Yes, he does. He got a deal.
Yeah, it's a deal on there. Okay, so that's it. That was good. That was a really good, exhaustive look at the ISIS papers, keys to the colors. I absolutely enjoyed that. You got any final words, Brother Ming?
No. I don't.
Okay, to all of our callers that are still on the line, if you have any final words, you can press one now. If not, we're out of here. That's it, Brother Charles.
I got some final words. You didn't ask me.
Sorry, because you got the final words. I don't have to.
I don't know. You didn't ask me if I had my final words.
I said, that's it. You got it. It's on you.
You know what my final word is?
Yes.
Do y'all want to know my final word is?
Oh, Lord, it's going to be something.
Death to white supremacy.
Damn right. That's what I'm talking about. Peace.
Peace.
Shalom.